As a kid, I didn't have any significant losses. I don't have memories of burying a bird or even a family pet or no family member that died when I was a child. The first and most significant human loss in my life that put me on this path was the death of my mother when I was 27. And it completely came out of the blue. And it was traumatic. My entire life since that moment has been in response to that loss. Losing my mom the way I did, I never saw her after her death, and I never got a chance to say goodbye. I never got to tend to her body, to wash her, to love her, to lay hands on her. There are so many studies that show when we do engage with death and dying, and particularly with the body of our loved one after death, that it helps with the grieving process. It helps us to incorporate the loss because we see it, we're touching it, we're feeling it. It's a very tangible, very visceral experience that helps us integrate my loved one is no longer here. My introduction to alternative ways of approaching death and dying occurred about 10 years ago now, when I was living in Philadelphia. A good friend died suddenly of a grand mal seizure. She knew that living with epilepsy, that she could go of a grand mal seizure at any point. So she had her end-of-life wishes all in order, which included having her women's circle, her best girlfriends, tend to her body after death and having a green burial. So I had never had any experience with the corpse, with a dead body. We were just sitting in the room, and then the funeral directors wheeled Linda in. One of Linda's closest best friends, Anne, is a hospice nurse, so she just got right up and went right over, right? She's very familiar with death and dying. I found myself just getting up and following her right up to Linda, immediately laying hands on her like I had been doing it every day of my entire life. And other women came up, and we just started talking to her and telling stories and washing her, brushing her hair, anointing her. And there were tears, of course, but there was a lot of joy and humor. One of the most beautiful parts of that whole ceremony was shrouding her. The shrouding ceremony is one of the most significant practices that we can bring back because that is the moment when you are covering the body, the last time you will look into the face of your loved one who has died. And so we did that with Linda. We had this beautiful tapestry that her brother brought her from India, and we rolled her from side to side, and we wrapped her in this shroud, and we said, "I love you, thank you, goodbye." In Linda's case, she did want a green burial. So, a green burial is at its core a body that is unembalmed, that is placed directly onto the earth, just simply shrouded. Or if a container is used, that container is biodegradable. A pine box, a willow casket, a cardboard coffin. Linda's grave was hand opened by family members who literally, shovel by shovel, opened her grave. And the bottom of the grave was this beautiful bed of pine boughs and flowers and shells and all sorts of natural elements. Her sons jumped into the grave, and Linda was hand carried by her brother and her husband and hand lowered into the grave and received by her sons who laid her on this bed of pine boughs. Then her sons were helped up out of the grave. Then anybody and everyone present had a chance to pick up a shovel, and we hand filled Linda's grave. It was very peaceful and very beautiful. And then there was music and song and dance, and it was very joyful. And there's tears, of course. It was the full experience of the heart. And I've heard this so many times in this work folks who are ready to accept their mortality at the end will often say things like, not necessarily afraid of dying, I'm afraid of dying alone. And I'm afraid that I'm going to die alone and nobody's going to find me. And none of us should have to worry about that. None of us.
As a hospice volunteer here on the Outer Cape, one of the first hospice patients that I had the opportunity to work with was a woman who had a terminal illness, and she was in her final months, of course, and then weeks and days of life, and she was living at a care facility. And at this stage of her life, she didn't have any really close friends to kind of be with her on a regular basis or help her through this end-of-life phase for her. And she didn't have any other family of origin here. She
was alone and worried and scared.
For the vast majority of every hour of every day, she was just sitting in this room by herself, either lying in bed or in the wheelchair, quite despondent, kind of waiting for the tray of mashed potatoes and Jell-O to be rolled into the room. And she would perk up when I would come in because, you know, I was there to specifically talk with her about the fact that she was dying. And she really wanted that.
It was heartbreaking.
And that was where the vision for the Lily House came from. I see every day how we as a community take care of each other in life, how we support each other, how we show up for each other, how we honor each other.
In this moment, working with this one particular hospice patient, I just said to myself, we can do better.
And I just thought, we do this in life so well, we need an opportunity to do this at the end of life and in death. We need a community home for folks so they don't have to worry about dying alone. A vision flashed from wherever visions come from into my being, and the message was, we need a community home to hold and catch our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones, to give them a home where they can die surrounded by love and community, dignity, grace, honor, all of the things that we all want for each other at the end of life. I knew I needed some fellow visionaries to help me with this. So we knew we wanted it to be a 501c3 nonprofit community organization. I immediately wrote a press release to share with the community that we exist. And we were off to the races. People started giving us money immediately. So we were continuing to raise money, continuing to do some community death education programming, all the while also just putting it out there into the cosmos. Maybe somebody will give us a house, because we know that's not out of the realm of possibility. And what do you know? Somebody gave us a house. That gift will never not be extraordinary. And it was nearly to the day, 1 year after receiving our 501c3 status, we got the phone call from a Wellfleet resident. Her name is Sandy Wonders and was a longtime community volunteer and leader here in Wellfleet, and she wanted to leave a community legacy. She had a terminal illness and had decided to stop treatment, and so she reached out to us, and Paul and I came and visited with her. She would more than once ask me to paint her a picture of how her home would be used as the Lily House. What will you do with this room? What will you do with that room? And as I would describe to her what would take place here, her eyes would twinkle and she would smile, and it brought her joy at the end of her life. When we have visions for something for the community, something that's for the greater good of all of us, there's a way that it just unfolds quickly and easily. And that has been the case with the Lily House. We all want to die with dignity, and we all want to die surrounded by love and community. And we all see that in order for that to happen here on the Outer Cape, we need to come together to do that. The feeling and the atmosphere that we're striving to create here at the Lily House will be one of calmness and peace, full of love, so that when folks are here, whether it's our residents who are actually dying, as well as their friends and family who come to visit them, our volunteers who come to help us, as well as the staff who work here, when we all walk through the door, I feel emotional. There will be a feeling of serenity, of beauty, of love, of acceptance, and of joy. The atmosphere, you know, that we'd like to create also includes that of the sacred. Dying and transitioning from this life to whatever happens after this life is profound and it's sacred. And we want to honor the sacredness of life and the sacredness of dying and the sacredness of what comes after death. Being present for that transition, holding a hand, sitting in silence, breathing together, staying in a moment that is transcendent. Because when a life is transitioning, there's a way that I've experienced anyway, that all human construct of time and space and place just ceases to exist. There's a way that you are so in a present moment with another human being that absolutely everything falls away, except the breath. And that is beyond words. That's a moment of sacredness and of honor for a life that was led and a life that is leaving this world.